passage of Scripture in Isaiah is quite impressive when you consider Isaiah's description of God, how high and lofty he is. Isaiah, like the Apostle Paul, I think about his statement in Romans 11, where we cannot fully comprehend all there is about God. Isaiah says that God is dwelling in a high and holy place, and yet he's willing to be with him of a contrite and humble spirit. He's willing to come and be with us. Out of all the universe, out of all that God is, all that God can do, his enormous power, you cannot put God in a box and completely define him. He's incomprehensible in many ways. You can't fully know all there is to know about God. And so he's high and holy in that way, and yet he's willing to be with those of a contrite and humble spirit. That's an impressive statement. God can do anything he wants that it is in his nature to do, and yet he's willing to be with us and to send his Son to die on the cross for our sins and to have us with him one day in heaven. That's impressive. That God is high, and yet he's willing to come down and be with those who are lowly. This evening, I want to look at that contrast between pride and humility in a lesson looking at two kings. And the Hillview congregation, they're having their VBS this week, and they asked me to speak on Thursday about Uzziah and Josiah. So I wanted to bring that lesson for us this evening. They're studying kings in contrast, kings that are opposites, kings that show opposite ends of the moral spectrum. Those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. Those who are wise, like Solomon, asked for wisdom, and yet Rehoboam, he just wants to walk by what his friends say. So opposites, contrasts. And we find this same thing with regard to pride and humility in the story of Uzziah and Josiah. So if you'll turn with me this evening to 2 Kings chapter 26. 2 Kings chapter 26. As we're turning over there, just by way of introduction, how would we answer these questions? How do we react when we are told that we're not following God's Word? How do we react to that? It might be something that we've read personally, in our own personal reading. We find out that we're not following God's Word. Maybe we hear that in a Bible class or a sermon or in some other situation. How do we react to that? How do we react when we are told that we've sinned? That's something hard to hear. It's something that's hard to take. But if that were to happen in our life, how do we react to that? How do we react when we're told that we can improve in some way or that we can do something in a better way? How do we react to these types of situations? What we're going to find this evening is we're going to find two kings that were presented basically with the same situation, where they're told something that they need to change, and we have two completely opposite reactions. We have a reaction of pride, and I'm fine, and I don't need to do anything. And then we have a reaction of humility, and I realize that I'm wrong, and I need to do better. How do we react when those situations are presented to us? Do we react with pride or do we react with humility? Do we react the way Uzziah did or the way Josiah did? In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, of course, we have the story of King Uzziah. In the parallel account in 2 Kings 15, he's described there as Azariah. It's a very short account in the king's account, just a few verses there. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles because it gives us a more complete picture of what is going on. And what we find is that this king rules around 791 BC for 52 years, and he starts off great. He's a young man that loves God and obeys God, gets off to a great start. But we're going to find that he finds himself in a position where things are going great, and then he turns and leaves God. When we turn to Josiah in just a moment, about 150 years later, it's the same thing. He starts off young, he starts off successful, and he's doing great. But he has humility. So the stories are similar. The reactions to God's word are poles apart. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, when we look at the life of this young king, we find that he is obedient and prosperous when he's young. We find that he's 16 years old, verse 3, and he reigns there in Jerusalem. And verse 4, he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah. He set himself, verse 5, here's your priority, here's your determination. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And as long as he sought Jehovah, God made him to prosper. So we find that this young king, 16 years old, a teenager, and we have some around that age this evening, and I want you to realize that you can set your heart to serve God and obey God. And then you start reading, for example, in verses 6 through 15, and you find some of his areas in which he was very prosperous. Verses 6 and following, he's very prosperous in war. When he goes out to war, he's very successful. There are some building projects. You come down to verse 9, different things that he built in Jerusalem. And I want you to notice that it goes back to verse 5. These are not bad things. This prosperity is not anything of a negative nature. God is with him, and that's very important to understand that. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. There's nothing wrong with being successful, even materially, in life. So he has these military conquests, and when he goes out to build things, he's able to build them. Verse 10, he's a farmer. He likes to get out and grow things. Verse 10, he loved husbandry. And so the animals and the planting of the fields and so forth. We come back to his military success in verse 11, and different types of members of his army, mighty men of valor, verse 12 and so forth. And he has that at his disposal. He makes sure that Jerusalem is defended. Verse 15, he builds things that are able to defend Jerusalem from her enemies. And so we find in verses 6 through 15 that he's very successful. And again, verse 5, God wants us to be successful. Have a good education, get a good job, and have a good income, and take care of your family. All of those things are within God's realm of will for us. But the problem is not the success. The problem is, how do we handle that? Have you ever heard the expression that so-and-so doesn't know how to handle success? You'll see maybe a movie star or a Hollywood star or a rock star or somebody else, maybe somebody in politics that have just been put in for the... They don't know how to handle success, and so it causes problems. The success is not the problem. It's how do we handle that? And so in the latter part of verse 15... his name was spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Who was he helped by? Well, God, we're told in verse 5 that God was with him. All of these things are perfectly fine for an individual to have in their life. But he reacted wrongly in this way. He began to view his success and his strength without God in the picture. And this is something that I have done, and now I can do whatever I want to do. I have been successful in war and in building and in farming and in defense. Now I can go do other things that I want to do. And so when his heart was lifted up, verse 16, when he was strong, remember, God gave him that strength. But how did he handle that? When he was strong, his heart was lifted up so that he did corruptly, and he trespassed against Jehovah. So I want us to notice, first of all, this evening that success is fine, and often I believe God is behind that. But how do we handle that? We have to handle that with humility. And we have to realize that God is giving me the great things that I have in my life, and I need to stay faithful to Him. But verse 16 says that when he was lifted up, he did corruptly. So how did he respond to this success? Well, the text says that he was lifted up. This is a common expression in the Old Testament to basically mean pride. One time, and I may make a note of that on the bottom of the chart, one time it is mentioned where one of the kings in 2 Chronicles says that he lifted up his heart in the ways of the Lord. So lifted up does not inherently mean a bad thing. It really means literally to lift or raise up towards something, and it could be something bad or something good. In this case, of course, it is just basically another way of saying pride. Turn back with me to a couple of passages in Deuteronomy where God's people were warned long before this to be careful about this kind of thing. Prosperity that even comes from God can be a situation where we're lifted up and we leave God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to become a Christian. I'm doing fine. I'm paying the bills. I'm doing this. I've got a nice car. I've got a nice house. And we end up just gravitating away from God. So he talks about prosperity, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11 and following. Beware lest you forget Jehovah. And he talks about some of the prosperity in verse 12. When you're full and you've built goodly houses and different types of things. Verse 13, your gold and your silver. Then verse 14, then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget Jehovah thy God who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. So that's a clear and present danger. And I believe that that's still a danger today that we need to be mindful of. Then we learn, if you turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 17, that the king, if they were to have a king, he was to read the law on a regular basis so that his heart would not be lifted up. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 17. It shall be that he that sitteth upon the throne, that he shall write him a copy of the law. If we wrote down a copy of the Bible ourselves, not go pick up one that's already there, but make a copy of one, we would really know it, wouldn't we? We would know that Bible backwards and forwards. So making your own copy causes you to carefully read and study and know those words. And so the king was to do that, and he's to read in it, verse 19, that he might learn to fear Jehovah his God and to keep the words of the law and to do them, and that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom. Reading God's word will humble us and make sure that we stay in a right relationship with God. So these things were warned long before we have this story of Uzziah. But Uzziah did not take heed. Other of God's people throughout time did not take heed to this warning. And so we read different places in the Old Testament where this person or that person has lifted up his heart. And they find themselves leaving God and His Word. So there's nothing wrong with prosperity. It's how we handle that. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God didn't say, I don't want you to have houses and I don't want you to have gold and silver. He said, when you have that, it can lead you away. How do we react to the prosperity that we have in this blessed nation of the United States? How do we handle that? And so what we find here is that here's a king who's not taking heed to Deuteronomy 17. He's not reading God's law. He's not staying humble. But the text says that when he was strong, his heart was lifted up so that he did corruptly. One other thought on this matter before we press forward, and that is that there's a case back, if you'll turn back with me a few chapters to 2 Chronicles chapter 12. There's the case here of Rehoboam. Is it possible that when your heart is lifted up, that you can turn around and humble yourself? Absolutely. Uzziah could have turned this whole thing around, but he chose not to. Here's a man that could have stopped this proud behavior, but he chose not to. Look at this case. This is interesting. With regard to Rehoboam, look at chapter 12 and verse 1. It came to pass when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and he was strong. That's exactly what we read this evening with Uzziah. When he was strong. Okay, here's Rehoboam. When he was strong. That he forsook the law of Jehovah and all Israel with him. And then the Pharaoh Shishak of Egypt comes up against him and attacks him. And look at what we find here with regard to verse 5. Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak and said unto them, thus saith Jehovah, you have forsaken me. Again, the idea of he got strong. He didn't need God anymore. You have forsaken me. Therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Then the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves And they said, Jehovah is righteous. And when Jehovah saw that they humbled themselves, the word of Jehovah came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves. I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. It's the same thing. Here's somebody who got strong and left God. But when the prophet comes to him and says, you need to come back, he did that. And he's spared a complete devastation by Shishak. It is possible, brethren, to humble ourselves even after we've been lifted up. It's not a lost cause. It's not a situation where we're headed for the cliff and we just have to go over that. We can stop if we want to. And so I wanted to share that with us this evening, that Uzziah could have turned himself around just like Rehoboam and the others did. But he chose not to. And so let's continue back with me in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16. He chose just simply to press forward in this lifted up state of pride. You know, it's interesting. We find that there are other individuals in the Word of God with this same expression. And a lot of times, this lifted up phrase is set in the context of someone who's been granted some great blessings and some great privileges. Hezekiah is given an extension on his life, and we're told that his heart was lifted up. The king of Tyre, who was over a nation that was very prosperous, his heart is lifted up. Nebuchadnezzar, his heart is lifted up because he has this great kingdom of Babylon. There's a correlation between pride and success. And we have to be very careful about that kind of thing even today. And what's interesting is, I believe God is behind that success. He wants us to be successful. But how do we react to that? Often, individuals will slowly leave God when they're strong, when they're lifted up, when they're doing well. And so we've got to keep the focus on God, even in those times of success. Now let's keep going down through the text. What did this pride cause him to do? Well, first of all, it caused him to sin. Read in verse 16 that he trespassed against Jehovah his God, for he went into the temple of Jehovah to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah, which ironically is Uzziah's other name, which is interesting, Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of Jehovah that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Jehovah, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from Jehovah God. And at that point, that's when we decide, how are we going to react? The king was not authorized to offer up this incense. The authority was given in the law of Moses to the priests. Passages in Numbers speak of this, passages in the book of Exodus and so forth. The king can do a lot of things, but he's not authorized to offer up this incense. And so he trespassed, he sinned when he did something without biblical authority. And it was directly related to being strong and being lifted up. And so we've got to resist the urge, brethren, to say, well, because I'm doing great in this life, you know, I can do this and I can do that. We've seen it among some in churches of Christ. Some have described it in the 1950s as the coming of age of the churches of Christ. They're no longer this backwoods country folk coming out of the 1800s. This is how other people are describing it, not me. And now we're the coming of age. We have big church buildings and we have colleges and we have this and we have that. And we're just like all the other denominations. And we begin to see that even some brethren doing things that are without Bible authority. And whether it's in the church or whether it's in our own personal life, this temptation is always present. So first of all, pride caused him to sin. Secondly, pride caused him to get angry. And when he was told no, and we don't like to be told no, when he was told no, it pertaineth not to you. Underscore that in your Bible, verse 18. It pertaineth not unto thee. You're not authorized. You're not supposed to do this. Verse 19, then Uzziah was angry. How do you react? How do I react when we're being told that we're not following God's word, or that we've sinned, or that we need to change in some way and improve? What's our first reaction? Well, it depends on our heart. And with a lifted up heart, we're going to continue to go down that road of resistance. And so now, not only is he sinning, but he's also getting angry at Azariah and the 80 priests who told him no. This is a separate side lesson, but let all of us this evening be the Azariah and the 80 valiant men. We need that in the Lord's church today. The text says that they were valiant men. Don't be afraid to say to someone, you don't need to be doing that. We don't want to hear no today as a society in general. But sometimes we need to tell someone it does not pertain to you. That's hard. It's very un-PC today. But we need that from time to time. Don't be afraid to be the Azariah and the 80 valiant men. And try to bring people back to God and His Word. And then we find that his pride got him punished with leprosy. Then Azariah, verse 19, was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy broke forth in his forehead before the priest in the house of Jehovah beside the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out quickly from there. Yea, himself hastened also to go out, because Jehovah had smitten him. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And the text says, Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. In fact, the whole story ends in verse 23 with the repetition of the same thing. He is a leper. That's how he's remembered. That's how he goes down in the annals of the kings of Judah, as he was a leper. Why? Because he let himself get lifted up. I'm strong. I can do what I want. And if I want to go in and burn incense, I can do that. That's unauthorized. Verse 16, it's called a trespass. It didn't pertain to him. And when he's told, don't do that, his only reaction is, I'm going to get angry. Now, in contrast to that, let's end on a positive note, and that is by looking at the opposite, a king in contrast, pride. We don't want to be like Uzziah. Pride will keep us from saying, I have sinned. Pride will keep us from saying, I was wrong. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Pride will keep us from saying those things. Pride will keep us from saying, I can do better. I need to change and improve. Pride won't let us say any of those things. And a lot of times, when we think of pride, we think of someone who feels like they're better than somebody else. That's not how we're seeing it in tonight's lesson. None of us would say we're better than somebody else in Clarksville. But pride can be, I just don't want to admit that I need to do better. That's a form of pride as well. And especially in this matter, we're not talking about matters of judgment here in verse 16. We're talking about a trespass, a sin, an unauthorized act. And when we're told that, we need to say, I've got to stop this. I've got to get out of this. I've sinned. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. That our eternal salvation is hanging in the balance over that. But to see the contrast of this, turn with me to 2 Chronicles 34, about 150 years down the line or down the road of history. We find the complete opposite in this young Josiah, which is a beautiful picture of, it's the same steps, it's the same scenario. He's starting off young and prosperous. He's doing all kinds of great things, just like Uzziah did. But when he's told that something's not right, he has the complete opposite reaction. And it's the reaction that we need to have today. For those times in our lives when we do need to make those changes, Let's be like Josiah. Around the year 641 BC, he begins to rule when he's 8 years old. He reigns for 31 years, and it's the same story, the same steps. He's obedient and prosperous when he's young. The text says in verse 2, he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, and he walked in the ways of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. While he was young, he began to seek after God. The same thing that is said of Uzziah. And we find that he's purging Jerusalem from immoral types of things involving idolatry. Down verses 3 down through verse 7. In the 18th year of his reign, verse 8, he begins to make provisions to repair the temple. It had fallen in disarray, and to collect the money from the people and use that for not just the support of the priests, but for taking care of the physical plant of the temple itself. It is degenerating and it needs to be repaired. You know the story that in the process of that, beginning in verse 14 and following, that Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of Jehovah, verse 14. It's a well-known part of the story. You ever thought about that? The book of God lost by the people of God in the house of God. How is that possible? How is that possible? The book of God lost by the people of God in the temple of God. Neglect, laziness, worldliness, misplaced priorities. Somehow it had gotten lost. We can't fathom that maybe in our own life. How can you just completely lose God's word? But it's somewhere buried in the temple and in the process of moving stuff and fixing stuff. Hey, this is the law of God. And Josiah takes the approach, we need to have this thing read and let's see what it says. So we find that in the process of repairing the temple, the book of God is found. Come with me to verse 18. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And we would say not just any book. And Shaphan read therein before the king, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes, which in Bible times is a show of humility. You might be wearing some clothes that are expensive to you this evening. Would you tear them? We're thinking, I'm not going to tear those. I'd have to go back to the store and spend some more money. But the tearing of clothes was a very personal thing that showed a serious matter. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of Jehovah for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is poured upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of Jehovah to do according unto all that is written in the book. And the evidence of that is found back in verse 3, 4, and 5, because he's having to purge Jerusalem of idolatry. That's evidence that they weren't following the book. He's right. He's not just making it up. So the first thing we see is a humble attitude. Remember, Uzziah is told, you can't do this, and he immediately gets angry. Josiah is told, this is why you're having the problems that you're having and God's wrath is upon us. And he immediately does the opposite. I want to be humble. That's what we need, brother. It's easy to stiff neck and bristle and say no and harden. It's easy. That's the way of the world. That's the path of the world. But let's be humble and lowly. And admit that we need to change. Notice, first of all, that his humility caused him to make personal application. Look at this in verse 21. This is very interesting. Sometimes when we hear the word of God, we might think, well, that's for somebody else. Read verse 21 again. Inquire of Jehovah for me and for them that are left in Israel concerning the words of the book. For great is the wrath of Jehovah that is poured out upon us. Look at that. He's making the application to himself and those of his day. Because our fathers have not kept the words of Jehovah to do according unto all that is written. This is happening to us. Notice the personal application that he made with that. It was not, well, okay, we've read the book of the law, but let's think about some other king and some other people. It's us. And so humility, first of all, will cause us to have introspection, where Paul talks about try yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13. Personal introspection, personal application. How does this apply to us? What do I need to do, you see? And then, this is amazing, his humility caused him to inquire about the meaning of these words. A lot of times we might read the Word of God, and we might hear the Word of God, and we might just let that go. But he's saying, we need to know specifically from somebody who knows what they're doing. We need to find a prophet or a prophetess who can inquire and give us the explanation of these things. We got to put two and two together, in other words. I don't just want to hear some words. I want to see how this applies to us today. And we're going to need some help with that. And so in verse 21, he says, go inquire of Jehovah for me. We've got to get it straight from the source. And of course, we know the story that they find this prophetess, Huldah, who does that. And so she says in verse 24, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. He wants to know how this applies to us here. He was not interested in some generic, philosophical, esoteric, theoretical, hypothetical thoughts. But what do we need to do? That's what humility will do. It's not, what does the person down the pew need to do? But me, you see. What does the person across the auditorium need to do? But me. And so she explains that the evil will come upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, back in the book of Deuteronomy, which they have read before the king of Judah. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods that they might provoke me to anger and all the works of their hands. And so she explains why this is coming to pass. But she also gives some insight into Josiah himself. Look at verse 26. As touching the words which thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender. You could just put humility there. Because thy heart was tender, thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place. Not like Uzziah. What did he do? He got angry. What did Josiah do? He humbled himself and hast rent thy clothes. And then she adds, and wept before me. And he's crying. We have violated the word of God. That's a completely different attitude. Because you've done that, I also have heard thee, saith Jehovah. Apparently, he also prayed to God. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. And they brought back the word to the king. That would happen later, around 586 BC, in the destruction of Jerusalem. So what did the king do? His humility caused him to gather the people together. Verse 29, and he gathers them all together. And he, look at verse 30, he read in the book. He read the words. I want to read those words. And he and the others, he made a covenant to follow it. We're going to make a promise. We're going to dedicate our lives to start following God's word again. All the inhabitants of Jerusalem made this covenant, verse 32. This shows the seriousness of the matter. Humility will cause a seriousness in us to seriously make that change. It's not just all talk. It's not just something where we're thinking about it. But we get up and we begin to do what we need to do. So the first thing was, he read and he caused the people to make a covenant. He set the right example. And then his humility caused him to keep the Passover and make important reforms. We don't have time this evening to read all of chapter 35, but when you read that, that's basically what you're reading. And then his death. He starts off in chapter 35 and verse 1. We've got to keep the Passover. And this is the place where we're told that the Passover had not been kept this way before. Verse 18, there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. That's impressive. But that's what humility will do. It will cause us to get back to doing not just a bare minimum, but doing it in a way that it had never been kept before in a long time or the time after. And then he makes several important reforms. He gets rid of the idolatry. He tells the Sodomites, you can't be in the temple anymore. They were in the temple. Now, that's not PC. You don't tell anybody that they can't have their personal lifestyle today, their homosexual lifestyle, but he gets rid of them. Verse 7 and following. He gets rid of the sorcerers, those who are engaged in witchcraft and that type of thing. He gets rid of those who had been burning their children to Molech down in the Kidron Valley. Verse 12. So he makes these important reforms. Where does it come from? It comes from humility. Humility is a very powerful thing. It will drive us to eradicate any wrong that is in our life and make the needed changes. And it's a beautiful picture when you come to the end of the chapter. He does die. He goes out when Pharaoh Necho is going up north to fight the Assyrians. Josiah goes out to meet him and he dies in battle. But look at what the text says. Verse 24, his servants put him in the chariot. They bring him to Jerusalem. Look at this. All Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And Jeremiah, this is the great prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. All the singing men and singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations unto this day. They're still speaking about him. And then look at this. And they made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Not only did they lament for this guy, but they wrote it down for others to read. That's impressive. Why? Because of his humility. And we learned this morning that what does God do to the humble? What did we just sing a moment ago? God exalts them. And we find that he ends his life on an exalted note. Verse 26, now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his good deeds, according to that which is written in the law of Jehovah, and his acts, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings. And we're still reading about him today. Humility. Humility will cause us to say, I have sinned, please forgive me. Humility will cause us to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, I apologize. Humility will cause us to say, I can do better, I will change today. We're not going to be like Uzziah, who says no, and he stomps out mad. We're going to be like Josiah. And we're going to, if we don't rend our garments physically, we can rend our hearts. And we can be humble. What's interesting about these two men is the same beginning, middle, and end. But the middle is different, and the end is different. The beginning is the same. They both had a great start. They're both described as men who are wanting to follow God. Uzziah took his good fortune and got proud with it. Josiah took his good fortune and got humble with it. One died a leper, the other died lamented by all. So as we close this evening, I want us to think about pride and humility. Turn with me to a few Proverbs and then we'll close. The wisdom of God is set forth in the Proverbs, and we've seen graphically illustrated this evening pride and humility illustrated in the lives of these two contrasting kings. Proverbs 11 and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. So we find this man, Uzziah, running out what? With leprosy on his forehead and stayed that way until he died. But with the lowly is wisdom. And we see it graphically illustrated in the lives of these men. The wisdom that was found in this Josiah because of his humility. Look at chapter 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Would you describe Uzziah as ending in destruction? Sure. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor, goeth humility. You know what would be an honorable thing for Jeremiah to show up at your funeral and have him lament? Wouldn't that be an honor? Who was at your funeral today? Jeremiah? Wow, that's impressive. And that was Josiah. Jeremiah showed up and lamented for him. What an honor. It's the same way all down through time. Pride brings destruction and shame and problems. Humility brings honor and wisdom. And so, as we noticed even this morning in our lesson, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And He'll give it to you this evening. He'll give it to I this evening, if we'll just simply be humble in His presence. You know, we serve a high and lofty God. I love Isaiah. Isaiah pictures God many places in his book as the Holy One of Israel, the high and holy one. The greatness of God is displayed throughout Isaiah. I love that about that book. But He's willing to reach down and be with us of a lowly and humble and contrite heart. He's not so above us out there in the universe that He's not willing to be with us right here at 290 Warfield Boulevard. He's willing to be right here. And He's willing to be with you. And He's willing to be with me. But we've got to have that heart of Josiah that will humble and make those changes. If we can help you this evening to make those changes, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?